completely jazzed up to assume my position in an upright seated position at my mic. You know what, though? At some point, we can stand up. I much prefer to stand up, Krieg. When I do the Nancy Skinner show, we're going to have to work that out. The new studios are going to have that, right? I know they are. I actually saw them. Yay! Hey, it is the Nancy Skinner show. I'm Nancy Skinner. 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-O-NANCY. You didn't know that we're going to have the ability for me to stand up. Because you know what? I need more energy, right? I need more after the Red Bull and the coffee. But we are moving into our new studios near the end of the month. We're very excited. Lots of bells and whistles. We'll be bringing new features to you. Webcams, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I will have a studio where I can actually stand up, which is much better for me. Because I get going. 1-888-64-NANCY. Okay, what do we have coming up today? Just kind of let's look at the day. We have a new poll out, speaking of what we've been speaking about how the public feels concerning partisanship. I found that to be interesting on the CNN ticker. We're going to be talking about how those polls are a-shifting given the first 90 days in office. And then we'll be talking to someone a little bit later in the program about the politics of fear. Before I get into that, though, I do want to warn you. There are going to be some funny moments in the show. John Boehner apparently thinks that cows fart CO2. So we're going to spend a little time on that. And the Australian Sun thinks that fat people are causing global warming. So there is a lot of bizarre accusations vis-a-vis those two. But I thought I would just, you know, give in to my detractors a little bit. I'll spend some time on the dark side of fear and evil and torture. Yeah. So we're going to do that because there's some breaking news that's kind of all over the wires, and we're on top of it. And that breaking news is that President Obama is clarifying his remarks earlier about prosecution of officials involved in torture and the torture memos, and opened the door a little bit. This is basically what he did. He opened the door to prosecute those lawyers who devised the policies, not the CIA, the operatives who were told to do this, because it's legal to do this, but the lawyers who devise the policies. Now, this is fascinating, this whole thing, on so many levels. Let's start with the president's words himself. This was in an interview in the Oval Office this morning.
As I said before, this has been a difficult chapter in our history. And one of the tougher decisions that I've had to make as president. On the one hand, we have very real enemies out there. And we rely on some very courageous people, not just in our military, but also in the Central Intelligence Agency, to help protect the American people. And they have to make some very difficult decisions because, as I mentioned yesterday, they are confronted with an enemy that doesn't have scruples, that isn't constrained by constitutions, aren't constrained by legal niceties. Having said that, the OLC memos that were released reflected, in my view, us losing our moral bearings. That's why I've discontinued those enhanced interrogation programs. For those who carried out some of these operations within the four corners of legal opinions or guidance that had been provided from the White House, I do not think it's appropriate for them to be prosecuted. With respect to those who formulated those legal decisions, I would say that that is going to be more of a decision for the Attorney General within the parameters of various laws, and I don't want to prejudge that.
Okay, that is in prefacing his next statement about opening the door. And before I get to my grand theory, I had my aha moment putting all of this together with Cheney's statements and everything. Before I get to the aha moment I get all this. Let's continue down this path. My Princess Bride. Okay, so he said, listen, there's a New York Times piece. It's fascinating. It talks about how difficult a decision for the president this has been. And I have been, I think, expressing some of that on the air. An ambivalence, if you will, based on probably some similar factors. Now, I haven't talked to him, but I know his MO enough to know that what is concerning him in the release of this. Apparently, according to the New York Times, they said that even when he was in Europe, he'd spent several weeks interrogating people about the pros and cons of releasing these memos and the prosecutions. And even when he was on his European tour, as much as he was meeting all these world leaders and the G20 late at night in the hotels, he would ask everybody what they thought, and not everybody agreed on this. That you had folks like in the Department of Justice saying that there was not enough legal basis to keep these memos, and you had folks over at CIA saying that, you know, we don't want to undermine the moral of the CIA operatives. I think that's why President Obama visited Langley yesterday, to buck up those guys, because not all agents were involved in these techniques, mind you, okay? So they did that, and it said on the other side you had Dianne Feinstein and, a bunch of other people reaching out saying that asking him not to rule out prosecutions. And she said until her panel completed an investigation, we know because we've had John Conyers on the show that he is for prosecution. He didn't specify, like, at what level. Down to operative, up to wrongdoers devising policies with the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue address or across this, or in the Naval Observatory, say, for instance. So let's see. Then so we know he struggled, and then they finally decided that they needed to release the memos for disclosure to learn a lesson. He banned the practices 2 days after taking office. Release the memos, and then, but not prosecute those people who were told to do that. Kind of a balance of not told to do it. He didn't talk about those people. This is where he's getting to now. He's talking about the CIA operatives who were told it was legal to do it and were told and ordered to do so. But today he went on to talk a little bit more about the next steps and his thinking on it.
I think that there are a host of very complicated issues involved there. As a general view, I think that we should be looking forward and not backwards. I do worry about this getting so politicized that we cannot function effectively, and it hampers our ability to carry out critical national security operations. There needs to be a further accounting of what took place during this period. I think for Congress to examine ways that it can be done in a bipartisan fashion, outside of the typical hearing process that can sometimes break down and break it entirely along party lines, to the extent that there are independent participants who are above reproach and have credibility, that would probably be a more sensible approach to take. I'm not suggesting that that should be done, but I'm saying if you've got a choice, I think it's very important for the American people to feel as if this is not being dealt with to provide one side or another political advantage, but rather is being done in order to learn some lessons so that we move forward.
Note here, before we continue, on your reaction to the president's statements are always welcome at 1-888-64 Nancy. He spent weeks, struggled for about 4 weeks on whether to release memos in regards to RE torture. What was it? I know some of you will know. I can't remember offhand. President Bush, how long did he spend? Like 15 minutes reviewing each of the memos before any capital punishment on each prisoner that was about to be executed? I remember it was an odd number, a very oddly short amount of time to spend reviewing all the legal documents before being the last stop to the gates of wherever. And that was like taking a life. This was 4 weeks about whether to release memos about that, okay? So score one right there for the president on his ability to weigh this carefully. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what his delicate balance is, which I believe in. I think there's something to it. And I'm going to tell you exactly what Dick Cheney's up to, too. I know exactly what Dick Cheney is up to with his appearance on Fox. He won't go away, but I figured that we've pieced it together like a movie. I had three steps ahead. 1-888-64-NANCY, that's, what is it? It's 1-888-646-2629 as we continue with our segment on torture, evil, drama on the Nancy Skinner Show.
Love from above that could save me from hell. She'd fire in her soul. It was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance.
The last point I just want to emphasize, as I said yesterday at the CIA when I visited, what makes America special in my view is not just our wealth and the dynamism of our economy and our extraordinary history and diversity. It's that we are willing to uphold our ideals even when they're hard. And sometimes we make mistakes because that's the nature of human enterprise. But when we do make mistakes, then we are willing to go back and correct those mistakes and keep our eye on those ideals and values that have been passed on generation to generation. And that is what has to continue to guide us as we move forward. And I'm confident that we will be able to move forward, protect the American people effectively, live up to our values and ideas. And that's not a matter of being naive about how dangerous this world is. As I said yesterday to some of the CIA officials that I met with, I wake up every day thinking about how to keep the American people safe. And I go to bed every night worrying about keeping the American people safe. I've got a lot of other things on my plate. I've got a big banking crisis, and I've got unemployment numbers that are very high, and we've got an auto industry that needs work. There are a whole things, range of things that during the day occupy me, but the thing that I consider my most profound obligation is keeping the American people safe. So I do not take these things lightly, and I'm not in any way under illusion about how difficult the task is for those people who are on the front lines every day protecting the American people. So I wanted to communicate a message yesterday to all those who overwhelmingly do so in a lawful, dedicated fashion that I have their back.
That word from President Obama today from the Oval Office as the CIA torture memo / investigation drama unfolds on the Nancy Skinner Show. 1-888-64-NANCY. James writes in. His subject line is, I was just going to say, you're treading on the dark, nasty side when I talk about this. Really, you know what, in a way, I want to make sure I fully understand the implications before I spout out whatever I think, as President Obama has said on a couple occasions, and piecing it all together. So here's what I heard from his comments today and from reporting that has gone on. He said, his hesitation all along, this back and forth, this I'm gonna just basically digest it because it's a radio show. He's worried about a three-ring circus on Capitol Hill made for cable TV, partisan politics, that start to blow up and turn into, that loses the public's credibility, makes it a partisan, make it seem partisan and not the serious issue that it is. And that's a concern, but he's weighing that with two other factors. And when we come back, I'll share those two other buts. The two buts coming up, I think, from my guess. What do you think the two buts are? That's a good question. 1-888-64-NANCY on the other side. The two big buts. We got lots of that going on, too. 1-888-646-2629. More to come on the Nancy Skinner Show. President Obama, Feingold on Noonan, John Stewart on Karl Rove. Everyone has an opinion about the release of the CIA torture memos and what should be done about it. Here's your chance to spout off on yours with me. Nancy Skinner on the Nancy Skinner Show, 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629. All right, here's where we are in the story. Today, President Obama opened the door a little bit. On the idea of creating a bipartisan commission that would investigate the use of those illegal interrogation techniques, he did not rule out taking action against the lawyers who fashioned the legal guidelines for the interrogation. So we heard some of his sound just from today, just breaking news on. Now, I'll tell you what, this has been sort of bubbling up. And here's what he's been, ruminating about. The right thing to do is to release these memos so that we can't hide it, as many people have articulated on this show. You cannot just, as Peggy Newton said, walk on by. Okay, you can't hide it. Hold on a second there, Craig. So you can't hide that. You gotta put those out, that information out there for the light of day. But okay, here's my big but. Do you see in his verbiage? You cannot have a circus, and that's what it'll be. That there's only so much oxygen on. Think this through. Think ahead of this. Remember the impeachment hearings? Because I was on the radio on WLS in Chicago throughout this whole thing. And then there's nothing else. When you have something like this, like a dead white girl, an Aruba scandal, and it's something like this, that's a lot easier and sexier to handle than global economic meltdown and toxic asset relief programs and all those issues that the cable TV networks and the mainstream media are bored with and don't even know. And all of a sudden you put on graphic testimony on trial. It will be the O.J. trial type attraction to television of the who did what and the scenario of laying this out there, not just in memo form, but in visual graphic detail with all these big names and faces and big circus going on, C-SPAN nonstop, all the three cable networks covering it. Then they get all their food fighting about it. It's great for ratings. I mean, it's just perfect. They just got to be begging for that. But I can see where the president is saying, hey, look, there's only so much oxygen in an environment. And I said this, when was this, yesterday? I said, look, the question is, if you have, he also alluded to the fact that he's got all these other things to worry about, the banks, the meltdown, the jobs, huge unemployment numbers, everything else, global warming, everything else he's got. You are going to crowd out. I'm going to make this argument, and you could say yay or nay, you're crazy or not. You are going to crowd out the people who want to get those things done. So it's vengeance or survival. I mean, essentially, that's one consideration. And, do you want to go back, and even if you are completely and wholly justified, and have that media circus about torture going on for 6 months? Meanwhile, if that choice, and I'm sure this is what his thinking was, if that choice and that circus means that we are pushing off of the agenda dealing with all these issues, like the people don't have health care. And if a person dies, okay, let me just break it down to its essence. This is kind of, I think it's utilitarian, but if those decisions to go back and prosecute mean that more children are dying without health care insurance right now, if they mean that more families are going to lose their homes and end up, you know, in on the streets, and then there'll be loss of life surely as it relates to that, and political unrest in the world that could explode into military violence if we don't get this under control. If you are, you know, driving a boat, what is your responsibility? Is to save the lives of everyone on that boat before you go back and review the operating manual to see if there were any errors, you know? And I could hear in his voice that urgency of if and when, he said, if and when the time comes, if and when there needs to be a further accounting. He hoped that Congress would examine ways to obtain one in a bipartisan fashion from people who are independent and therefore can build credibility with the public. Because if the public sees this as just another, if they see it like the impeachment, they're not going to buy it. The impeachment struggle went down so badly in public opinion polls because it was perceived as clearly an effort to take down this president. Come on. That was why it never got any traction with the public. They saw it for what it is. The rule of law, rule of blah, 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 blah. Everybody felt that the more immediate urgency was, you know, over something of this nature was to get on with it. Get on with it. Move on. That's how move on started. Move, censure, and move on. Okay, so in his mind, I can tell you, he is saying, because, and, you know, there is a quantum physics principle to this as well. What you think about expands. And if you have a choice, and if your voice is echoing across the universe, or at least the planet, then are you going to choose to talk about solutions that are going to get us from here to there with the 6 billion people on the earth in really outrageous times? Or are you going to spend your time getting people to focus on torture and getting people angry and firing up the, ultimately it'll fire up the Republican base on this? You know that. Because we're now, so this is the deal. This is what Cheney's already taken advantage of it. So I heard this. I said, oh my God, I can't. Why on earth? Let's listen. He goes on Fox News. He's responding. He's hearing all this chatter back and forth. Oh, talk of a special prosecutor in this New York Times piece. Obama's talking about appointing somebody that perhaps, or this piece, or their sources, and they named three lawyers: John Yoo, Jay Bybee, and Stephen Bradbury were the Bush administration lawyers who signed the memos, and are the guys with the supposed target on their heads. No way would it stop at three dudes we don't know. They'll turn, they'll flip. It goes all the way up to Cheney and Bush. You know that whoever was responsible, I'm not saying they were, but you know that that's not, they're not going to wrap it up with those three. And they talked about a special prosecutor. They even talked about, they mentioned this guy, a Republican calling for a prosecution, Philip Zelikow, former State Department counselor in the Bush administration. And he said it was not up to the president to rule out an inquiry into possible criminal activity. If a Republican president tried to do this, people would be apoplectic. So if there's going to be a guy, that would be the guy to do it, somebody who is a Republican who's saying that it should be carried out, I think, methinks, to lend it the credibility that it really deserves. Otherwise, it loses its full force. But here's Cheney, and let's figure out, and I'll get to your calls if you're on the phone. 1-888-64-NANCY, but here's Cheney before we can figure out his motives.
It worked. It's been enormously valuable in terms of saving lives, preventing another mass casualty attack against the United States. One of the things that I find a little bit disturbing about this recent disclosure is they put out the legal memos, the memos that the CIA got from the Office of Legal Counsel, but they didn't put out the memos that show the success of the effort. And there are reports that show specifically what we gained as a result of this activity. They have not been declassified. I formally ask that they be declassified now. I haven't announced this up till now. I haven't talked about it. But I know specifically of reports that I read, that I saw, that lay out what we learned through the interrogation process and what the consequences were for the country. And I've now formally asked the CIA to take steps to declassify those memos.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Dick Cheney, that's Susan Boyle. He has a dream. He has a dream that one day we'll all realize he was right about torture. And like Susan Boyle, all the critics who looked on him with contempt and shame will rise in a standing applause and ovation and realize he was right. No, not exactly. He's worried about tainting the jury pool, folks. He sees a special prosecutor discussion happening, and he's getting out ahead of this thing to say, you know, he's exactly doing this. He's trying to make it seem like a partisan witch hunt, a back and forth. What other reason does a former vice president have for saying, you know, well, there were good things and you didn't release those? Yes, Your Honor, I know I stole that car, but the good news is now I have transportation to get to a job, so that's the good news. And why don't we know that? Well, he's not doing that for his legacy, the library, his wing of the library. He's tainting the jury pool. He wants this, and that's why Karl Rove and we got all is out there saying it worked. It's hilarious. That's what he's trying to do because he knows it could devolve into that, and then it goes right back to what Obama's afraid of. Okay, that's what this is. A made-for-TV melodrama that, meanwhile, when the real issues like saving our economy are at stake, we won't have the public's attention, wherewithal, oxygen to deal with it. That is my theory. Mike is in Woodland Hills, California. Hi, Mike. I'm sorry. Richard, you're not Mike, but what's your theory?
I just honestly feel that Bush and Cheney are so toxic and crooks to begin with, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm tired of all the lies. You know what? We don't even think about the people that are dying in Africa and all that. To say, for you to say that, you know, people are going to be dying, that's not a part of it. You need to have morality, and Bush and Cheney have no morals and need to be put in jail. The entire past administration needs to be put up on charges.
Well, let me say this. Let me ask you this, because I'm not disagreeing. Well, I think you've essentially issued a verdict without a trial. Do you think that's fair? Because I think they should be.
Absolutely not. I think if you see after everything that Bush and Cheney has done against the law, whether we cared or not, look what they did. They went after Bill Clinton for a stupid thing like sex.
No, but no, I know. My question was specific, though.
Personal, had nothing to do.
I know, but you are saying they deserve a trial, right?
No, I think they should just be put in jail and given the exact same medicine that they gave everybody else.
Richard, if you just took them,
about us,
if you just,
I don't think we should care about them.
But wait, Richard, wait, hold on. So to say, I mean, that's what Obama is saying. The reason that he decided to release the memos is because we operate on some moral principles and we abide by the rule of law. Now, you are going so far as to say that they don't even deserve a trial, that we should just put a former president and vice president in jail. No trial, just jail them. Can you imagine the earthquake that would cause?
Why? Look what happened. Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon, knowing that Nixon was definitely guilty, and Nixon said he was above the law. So did President Bush.
So did Obama say he's above the law and put Bush in jail?
Obama is basically saying that by not doing something or even putting him on trial, and I'll even agree with you they should be put on trial, that the entire government is complicit, and I wouldn't be surprised if they are.
All right, Richard. Well, see what I'm saying there? See where you're going? All of a sudden, put them in jail without a trial. We're trying to reestablish our moral authority in the world, folks. I'm thinking that wouldn't go a long way, even if they're guilty, even if we go that way. And I've never ever said that they should not have been, that they should not be tried. If evidence leans that way, I am saying there are two overriding conditions that he is talking about. He's talking about avoiding a circus that devolves into something not helpful, and he is talking about timing. And he's talking about timing. That's it. I mean, so we'll get to your calls. I know a lot of people just feel like Richard just said, don't even give them a trial. Just put them in jail. It kind of goes into what I've been saying about the we have to be better than them in our rhetoric. In our respect for the rule of law, in how we treat and respect other world leaders, when you just, and I, Richard, hey, I was there through all of this, so I know what has been done. I'm not saying I disagree with that they're right or wrong, but you got to be better than them. So, you know, and there are a couple other considerations here. So President Obama today has opened the door. I'll come back. I'll get more of your calls in here. And then it devolves into the ludicrous. God loves Jon Stewart and his multi-team of writers to find this stuff, because he's got his own twist on it. But I'm trying to tell you, I'm digesting what I think what's been weighing on his mind in this process, and where he is, and why he's got these balances here, and he is commander-in-chief, and he has a responsibility to protect Americans and life, and he knows where this political circus, this TV circus thing goes. So, lots going on in that head. Trust me. It is 1-888-646-2629. That's 1-888-646-NANCY. And we will continue. I guess we'll get a bunch of calls in. I guess we've caused a stir. Oh, well. Hearings on the torture memos are undertaken, as looks likely. If they are not televised, would you still support them? Or do you want them to be 24/7 on CNN, Fox, and MSNBC so you can see every detail and soak in the world? Ah, there's a question for you. If we do it, can we accomplish both objectives, which are kind of like save the planet from global warming, a global meltdown, and have restored moral authority? 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. Let's go to Hacienda Heights and talk to Janine. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Nancy. My question is, does America have integrity anymore? That's what's important, and that's what we need to show the world, that we have integrity and to do the right thing. And it's going to show that Obama is true to his word if he can show that he has integrity with everybody in the world.
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, in terms of that we do have integrity like they did in different parts of, well, I don't know, I would say South Africa, there was a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. They didn't really prosecute anyone, and they sort of restored hope there. But anyway, would you, to answer my question, if I agree with you that we have to do this to restore our integrity, would you be okay with those hearings not being televised so as not to provide the fuel for the fire for Rush Limbaugh and the other side to use it?
And along with the integrity issue, it's important that they do televise it.
Okay,
so
here's my question. I'm working with you on this because I agree with you. You know, we have to, there has to be some, like, we are sorry if crimes were committed at the highest levels, fine. But do you understand? Would you watch those? Wouldn't you be glued to the TV to see who done what, especially as it moves up the channel?
Oh, absolutely.
And do you think that the cable news editors are going to say, you know what, we're going to move away from this programming because we found a disturbing pattern of banks that are collapsing in the Midwest, and that issue goes away. Is that then? Are we okay if all of a sudden we drop the ball on these problems that could have consequences now, here and now, not in the past, but here and now?
You know, it's all a big, it's all together. I mean, those issues aren't going to go away. We can't brush this under the carpet.
But nobody's suggesting.
Can't ignore it.
Here's where I'm having a problem with some of the calls, okay? And Janine, I have never said brush it under the carpet, nor has Obama. Brush it under the carpet. But by releasing them, God, the other side we've got some good Jon Stewart coming up. You've compromised national security. You know, the other side, of course, is apoplectic about it. I've never said that. So you can't, like, this is what Rush does a lot. He makes it an either-or issue what you're suggesting is that I am saying brush it.
Well, most women can chew gum and walk at the same time. I think America should.
Well, there you go. Touche. I mean, that's what Obama said. But I'm just saying, I think in his head, as I'm hearing him, he's worried about the media circus that could ensue, because
you got to stop worrying about the media circus and do the right thing.
Well, I don't know. If you're a mother and your child is sick and has a chance of dying, and you are in charge, you got to take into a couple things at once, a couple things into consideration at once. So I'm going to disagree with you on that. that you can't worry about, like, the global meltdown in the planet. I have to disagree. Of course he is worried that his agenda of really big things is going to get derailed. Of course he is. And he should. He's the commander-in-chief. But we're talking about whether it's right or wrong. But to say he shouldn't worry about that, no, that's his job. He took an oath. More to come. More of your calls on the Nancy Skinner Show. Job easier on talk radio. Breaking news. Obama, I'm open to prosecuting Bush officials. That is a radio talk show host's dream come true. Oh, no. Here we go. We're going to have years of prosecutions and, like, crime dramas, whodunit all over three cable networks. Why? This is a stimulus package for the economy. This is fantastic news for broadcasters. That's what we need. We don't need a war like in the Depression. We need just some good old-fashioned prosecution. All right, I'll shut up. It is Nancy Skinner, and so I guess that makes it the Nancy Skinner Show. 1-888-64-NANCY, that's 2629. So if you haven't heard, just a quick update. We'll get right to your calls. A lot of people want to jump in on this. President Obama today in comments at the Oval Office said he's open to, if and when, it's appropriate hearings, like a bipartisan commission that would go after prosecuting those lawyers who devised the plan. Not, he still is saying that the actual operatives at CIA who were told to do this should not be prosecuted. And so you know where that goes. They're talking special prosecutor. They're not going to confine it to these three no-name lawyers who devised the policy, because you can't do that. You got to go further up the chain. He had a couple of very telling statements in there. He said he's worried about, he didn't say, in my words, I'm paraphrasing, a political circus developing, that it could be partisan and the public will not take it with the gravity it deserves, because the other side's, Rush Limbaugh, I remember him saying during the Tea Parties, that this is a sandbox scuffle, this Tea Party, when you start to prosecute. Dick Cheney, this is my theory why he went on Fox News. He went out there to taint the jury pool, to make it a partisan, he said, we said, they said thing, because when the public gets confused, this is what they did on global warming, when the public gets confused, the public throws their hands up and like, oh, this is just partisan and I hate partisans. Politics. So the strategy of the other side is to get out there. Karl Rove said it worked. And Dick Cheney's trying to taint the jury pool. They see this train to come in. Obama's back there going, God, I got to worry about, like, the entire economy insolvency and in global warming. We are going to cap a train. Our emissions are already at 360 parts per million. We're done. Our goose is cooked. And all the people on the left want to go to jail. Richard, last hour, just said he doesn't even want a trial for Bush or Cheney. Just put him right in prison. Straight go there without a trial and put him right in prison. Because we got to do that. Now, come on, people. I said, this is a question I'm putting out there. If those hearings were not televised, but yet they were being conducted, and those people were held responsible no matter how far it goes, even if it's Bush or Cheney, would you still feel the same way, or do you have to see a televised thing? Because we could accomplish both. We could accomplish taking care of today's priorities and seeking justice, but probably not on television. That's the big question on the table. Helby is in Los Angeles. Hi, Helby. Thanks for calling the program.
Yes, Nancy?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I certainly can.
Oh, good. I am for putting them on trial without being televised. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Yep, I hear you. So you're agreeing with me that maybe that's the way to accomplish both.
Yeah, it is best. This does not affect President Obama's integrity and promise to prosecute during the campaign, but I think it should be looked into, and this would be a circus if they televised it, like they did the Clinton Monica Lewinsky
right.
Yeah, that's my view. And then, and when, and here's what I'm saying, folks. Thanks, Halby. I appreciate that. And what I'm saying here, folks, is that when they do, then the networks are going to have their equal, fair, and balanced business going on. I don't care which network it is. So then Karl Rove's going to be all over the TV, and Dick Cheney, and all these clowns are going to be out there. That you're going to give them the opening to attack, attack, attack. The public gets disenfranchised. They go, oh, what, you know what? And then they throw their hands up, just like they did during the impeachment. So if it's, if it, what he's trying to get is, it, if it is seen as impartial, if it is seen as not a partisan witch hunt, okay, and what I'm suggesting, I'm throwing out there is, would you folks who, because I agree that there has to be, trust me, I was on the air every day saying the war shouldn't have gone on before the war. I got taken off the air when the war actually started because I was the only anti-war voice on the radio. I have been there. I do not say that people keep paraphrasing that that I'm saying brush it under the carpet. I've never, ever said that. But I am also looking at the concerns of a commander-in-chief who's got a lot of objectives and has to look at this thing called modern media and the circus that it is. And I'm saying, would you be happy if those prosecutions happened behind closed doors and people went to jail? Let's go out to New Jersey and get Rich in here. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Nancy. Unlike the other Richard, I do believe in the Constitution, and I want them to have their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights exercised for a speedy trial with due process, and if they are convicted, I want them to have their rights under the Eighth Amendment, not to have cruel and unusual punishment, the same kind that I believe they meted out to the people that they tortured.
No waterboarding for Bush and Cheney.
No waterboarding. However, Nancy,
there are some people that would say, you know what? Waterboard them. I guarantee you that there's someone out there in my audience at this moment. If Rich says throw him to jail without a trial, there are people that are saying they need to be waterboarded.
Absolutely.
And that would not be Christ-like. Do unto others as you would have them do unto yourself. Turn the other cheek. All those principles that the evangelical Christians talk about so much, we have to actually practice. And one of them is to, you know, worry about, be our brother's keeper, seek moral. I mean, he's got, you understand, right? He's got competing, of course he wants to restore our moral opinion and standing in the world. But he also wants to...
Nancy, yeah. We cannot restore our moral high ground in the world unless we act upon the last phrase in our Pledge of Allegiance. We have to have liberty and justice for all. And justice means the false mean that President Obama is putting out there following his predecessor, George W. Bush, is that his not first job is not to protect the American people. His first constitutional job is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And that means we are a nation of laws. If crimes are committed that jeopardize our constitutional form of government, they must be prosecuted, let the heavens fall where they may, as Jim Garrison said when he was trying to go after JFK's killers. I'm sorry, Nancy.
Wait, Rachel. No, back up a little bit. No, because you raised a really interesting point just now. So you said his job isn't to protect the American people. That's not his primary goal or job.
That's correct.
It's to so he took an oath. Let me try and remember this.
Right.
To uphold the Constitution.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Yes, that's his constitutional oath.
All right. Well, promote the general welfare and to protect life and liberty and promote the general welfare are in there as well.
But his primary responsibility when he takes his oath of office is to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
I know, but there are lots of justices in the Constitution, but so is life and general welfare. And if you are you a dad, Rich?
No, I'm not.
But
if I was, I still want my children to grow up in a democracy, a constitutional democracy. If we do not, we cannot use the Nuremberg defense was the lower people on the ladder, we were just following orders. We are above that. We cannot follow the Nuremberg defense.
Hey, but Rich, okay, is there somewhere in the middle? Because I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen. I am saying that you understand he has some competing priorities here. And if you're in an emergency room and someone tells you to take a number and you think your son is going to die,
you aren't, you know, you're going to get to the, you're going to get there, your son into that. You're going to crash through that door and you're going to grab a doctor by the coat under and say, my son is dying and I'm not following this. And I, you know, I'm not following my ticket number in line. And I think that if there's a consideration of time here, that that's what it's about. That he sees in almost a more existential threat to humanity. Then right now, he's that doctor crashing through that door to save his son.
And our founding fathers put their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor above all else to guarantee that we would have a free nation. And a lot of them died because they put their honor and their integrity and their commitment to the to our current form of government on the line, Nancy. And
okay, so would you then agree?
Otherwise, that we lose our democracy, Nancy.
Would you agree, though, that if we could do this in a way that didn't politicize it and turn it into a spectacle, a partisan spectacle that undermined his ability to get the real things done, like not televising.
There's no way that's going to happen.
Why not?
It's going to be politicized no matter what you do, so just go for it.
But don't you think putting it on cable TV, the whole thing, televising
it's going to be, it's going to be publicized no matter what happens, Nancy.
No.
If there are investigations and prosecutions, it will become a media event.
So well, but not if they're not on television. If they're not on television, Rich, like the when they sketch, you know, when they do the sketches of defendants, it doesn't have as much drama for the television network, so they're not covering it as much.
We can't worry about the media circus. We have to have...
Why not? Would you... what's more important to you, Rich? What is more important to you? If you want, do you want justice or do you want to see justice on your TV for entertainment's sake?
I want justice, man.
Okay, then you shouldn't care if it's televised.
If we don't have justice, we don't have a country.
So then you would accept non-televised hearings so that justice continues and the order of the business, the crisis we are... You would. Then you and I, Rich, have just made our peace. And I really appreciate you calling in.
Love you, Nancy.
Love you, too. Bye. All right. 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629. More of your calls and reaction. And I got John Stewart and Carl Rove on Peggy Noonan and Russ Feingold. We got to get him on the program. He unloads. Feingold unloaded. I like that. I can't even picture Russ Feingold go unloading. But I bet it's hot. I bet he's hot when he unloads. 1-888-64-NANCY. Charles. The Nancy Sketch Show. Charles writes in, Nancy, his subject, Obama was wrong. You might not believe this, but Obama was wrong, .. It's true, I swear, Nancy. You see, there was this one time when he thought he was wrong, and then it turned out that he had been right all along, keeping his record at 100% or better. I'm not sure because I'm not perfect like he is, though my only weakness is math. I think that this time he was wrong. There was one time when he was 19 years old he was wrong. You'd expect anyone to make a mistake, and his was to doubt his own infallibility. Some might not think that should count as being wrong, but technically he was wrong. I hope you don't take it too hard. Just keep a stiff upper lip and work through the shock. When you get off work, you can go home, get in your bed, and snuggle with your favorite pillow, the one you call Barack. You'll feel better when you wake up in the morning. Sorry to have to be the one to break the news, but I figured you would want to know so no one could blindside you with it. Be strong, Charles. I told you, I disagreed with Barack Obama on one thing all along, so it's not that I'm 100%, and I'm not a shill, and I've not said what it is that I've disagreed with him on, but... we'll leave that for another day, shall we? But here I'm just trying to get to the thinking of him. You know, you're the commander in the chief. You've got two competing goals. One being bring to justice these people who violated the law to restore our moral standing in the world, of course. The other is meltdown, political unrest that could unwind into something we've never seen. You've got both of those, and you know that they are going to compete and intertwine. Now, I've just asked the question, okay, can we have it both? Can we have these hearings and prosecutions, these whatever, a bipartisan commission, appoint that Republican in the article. The guy, he's a Republican under Bush who is saying we should do it. Kind of like, who did we, well, that didn't work out with Ken Starr, so. No, maybe not. Maybe somewhat independent, okay, because that kind of scares me. This guy might be trying to set himself up to be Ken Starr. Look how well that worked out for Clinton. And do it off television so it doesn't consume the oxygen, the attention, expand into our brains and the universe in a negative way and amplify those messages. But those people go to jail. And we'll see how people feel about that. 1-888-64-NANCY. Fred is in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Buffalo, New Jersey. Hi, Fred. How are you? Of course, Buffalo's not in New Jersey. Buffalo's in Buffalo.
That's correct, Nancy. Thank you so much for recognizing that.
Love Buffalo, actually. I've driven through it many times.
Already. Yes, I believe that the American public needs to see it. You know, obviously you want to have the best, you know, prosecutor, you know, one who's going to be above reproach so that people won't question his or her integrity. And it should be a team of people.
Is there such a person, Fred? Right now, well, in this politicized world, who would that be?
You got a good point, Nancy. I think that there should be a time, you know, a limited time, you know, at least a month or 2 months to say, okay, let's get this, you know, this search. I know it's going to be difficult to find someone, but, you know, I'm sure there are people out there that, you know, if you do the research, you know, someone who, it could be a law professor, it could be someone who, has a history of being able to do the right thing, and you know, I realize that there are going to be people on the right and left that are going to be having their issues, but, you know, this is part of American history. It's actually part of world history.
Would you feel comfortable with this if the administration said, okay, or the Congress, because they conduct the hearing, if they said, we're going to do it, because right now they resume after their Easter break, I believe it is next week, and they're taking up health care and cap and trade. All right, those are the two, energy and healthcare. They want to get it done before Memorial Day, have a bill on in June. So would you, you know, and obviously that's going to take a little effort. You only have so much political capital. You know that, right, Fred, as a president? He only has so much time before his numbers go down and he can force Congress to do what he wants. So if you are forced to trade between national health or healthcare and cap and trade and the timing, would you, like, let's say we do this in the fall. Okay, in the off season, during Christmas. That would be great. Let's do it during the Christmas break off television and get health care and energy. Would you prefer it?
No, I mean, something as important as this is and it has been delayed for so long, I'm sure that the majority
I'm out of time. I'm out of time. But you've raised the question. So you would rather have prosecution of these officials than health care and energy? That's my question. I want to know who else wants that. You would rather have prosecution than health care for everyone and energy to save the planet. Is that what you're saying, Fred? You're still on hold. We'll come back on the next. But here we go. You wanted it. You got it. President Obama, breaking news today, opening the door a smidge on prosecuting officials responsible in devising torture policies, illegal policies, and all hell is breaking loose, frankly, among both sides about this. Normally, I try to, you know, contain my Oprah-like demeanor at all times, but today I'm riding the dark, fear-based side, the sizzly Catwoman darkness of torture and CIA memos. Forget the planet. And so joining me to talk a little bit about that is someone who's written about the dark side of the Bush years. Why not? Bob Seska is one of the top bloggers on Huffington Post. He's been on since about 2005. He's one of those above-the-fold bloggers where most popular blogs out there. And he also wrote the book One Nation Under Fear, which is a collection of his essays examining the politics of fear during the dark ride of the Bush years. So, Bob, everyone asked me to get into my Catwoman-like demeanor today when I take this on. And here you are. What great timing.
That's great. I'm so glad you can connect, like, Eartha Kitt and torture. It makes it so much more palatable, I think.
That's what I do. You know, I have 3 hours of airtime to fill between commercials. So that's what we do. Bob, thanks for being on the show. So it really is timely, obviously, today. You know, there's been a pent-up, if you listen to my callers on this show, sort of a pent-up frustration about the lack of progress on accountability, justice, for the torture memos. The release of those memos didn't calm anything down, did it?
No, absolutely not. And you know, I was really glad to hear this news today. And I think it's a bigger door than you were kind of making it out. I think the president's words were very measured, as they tend to be. But I think
that's why he's really president of the United States.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was basically saying to the attorney general, "Go for it."
Yeah.
I mean, the door is wide open. It's entirely up to you. And you know, it was...
Well, I don't know if he said go for it, but he said if and when, and I don't want to preempt what the Justice Department might do. So is poll speak for go for it, Holder?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, it's basically the president reminding everyone that the Justice Department should really be independent of the White House. And now I think he's realizing, and it is, let's be honest here, it is a flip-flop on the part of the president. But I think it was a rational and well-thought-out flip-flop, if that's even possible.
Well, where was the flip? Because here, I may be corrected, I get beat up for being a shill for Obama too much. But I ran against him, and I know him, and I like him a lot. So, you know, I am disclosing my relationship. But where did he flip-flop? Because I think he said I wouldn't prosecute the CIA interviewed the guys who did it on the line, who actually were told to do it. Did he ever say he wouldn't go after the Bush? Because I remember during one of his first press conferences, he said he was asked about the Truth Commission, right,
mm-hmm.
with Leahy. And I think he said that Congress is going to have to decide how to do this.
Well, I mean, he's been pretty clear in terms of making sure that he doesn't that we don't look back, that we're constantly looking forward. And up until today,
mm-hmm.
and especially including Rahm Emanuel's remarks over the weekend, it was pretty clear that they didn't really have any intention of pursuing any sort of prosecutions. Now, that has significantly changed today. I want to believe that the president was, because it was really the president who made the decision. He pulled the trigger on releasing these memos in the first place.
Right.
And he's got to have it somewhere in the back of his head. Look, I think if I release these memos, I'm going to be obligated, but I do believe that there were maybe some actors behind the scenes saying, look, this is going to be politically perilous because it sets a precedent. I don't believe, and I've done some research over the last few days, I don't believe there's ever been a sitting administration that has investigated the members of the previous administration. Now, I could be very wrong, and I'd love to hear from an historian who might have more detailed information about that, but there's really no precedent.
Well, what about that. Watergate and the Warren Commission?
Well, that was not necessarily an investigation of administration officials. Watergate began while Nixon was still president.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
But it wasn't like Ford came in and pardoned him. It wasn't like Ford was inaugurated and he said, okay, we're going to investigate Nixon now. That just didn't happen.
Well, okay, so whether it has or hasn't, Bob, here's what I'm thinking. We just discussed on the show with our callers. I am thinking that the president sees a Pandora's box here, that he is trying to struggle with two imperatives. One is he sees the Pandora's box, and you know media, Bob. Mm-hmm. I've been on TV and radio now for a long time. There's only so much oxygen, and if you have trials, and they're talking about in this New York Times piece, these three lawyers at the Justice Department under Bush, who I want to know if you can give us more information on them, John Yoo, Jay Bybee, and Stephen Bradbury. That's who's cited as devising these memos. But you know, this just like Watergate, the break-in into the hotel. Come on. This is going to go from them up to bring back Scooter Libby. That's why I think my premise was when Dick Cheney got out there and said, you know, he was mad that he wants more of those memos released to prove that the good, all the great things that happened of torture, I think he's trying to taint the jury pool. This is my theory. Taint it, turn this into a partisan already, before it even goes on to television. Turn it into us versus them, you know, a mother kind of, the mother of all tea parties, that this is just about, you know, I heard Rush today saying the reason Obama is doing this is he wants to destroy how Bush protected the United States because that would ruin his messianic image. You know, they're going to whip their troops up, and then the public throws their hands in the air and they says, oh, this is a partisan witch hunt, and they get away.
Right, right. And that, you know what? In a lot of ways, I was trying to figure out what the president's motivation was up until today, why he wasn't really wanting to look back, why he released the memos but sort of balked at an investigation. And I believe there are numerous reasons, one being political, obviously. Two, you know, it's really perilous for any administrator, for any sitting president or members of the White House to start screwing around with the CIA. I just get a little nervous when someone, you know, when you have a president who suddenly starts to meddle with really deep, the deep, dark, seedy underbelly of the Central Intelligence Agency. It can never end well.
Now, listen, you wrote your book, One Nation Under Fear, and did you delve into that? Did you really get to see this seat, since we're on the dark, seedy side today? What, when you talk about that black ops and whatnot, I mean, how seedy are we talking? And what did Bush, I mean, obviously, or Cheney had his little, he had his own little home team within the CIA, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I think what we're seeing here is, with these memos, is actually just the very tip of the iceberg.
Well, that's what worries me. Okay, keep going.
I mean,
keep talking.
There's clearly, from the pictures of Abu Ghraib and some of the other reports that we've heard through the Red Cross and so on, the torture interrogation methods, these torture practices were a lot worse than confinement or stress positions or slapping. I mean, I find it very ironic and almost twisted and contradictory, the far right's argument against or in support of these, what they call interrogation methods. Because on one hand, they're saying, look, it's just like slapping. I mean, Rush Limbaugh was on the air the other day. Look, I'm smacking myself. I'm being tortured. Or, you know, they've talked about, oh, it's just dribbling water, or it's like a frat boy prank or something. But how can it be that silly and innocuous and still be effective? So at once they're saying there are these ridiculous techniques that they're using, and oh, how, you know, fun. It's almost fun. They're playing in water. And at the same time, they're supposed to actually get actionable intelligence from these methods. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Hey, are you open to taking calls, Bob? Or
absolutely.
Okay, great. So let's do that. It's 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629. Let's see. Patricia's in Sacramento. Hi, Patricia. Say hi to Bob.
Hey, Bob. Thank you so much.
Hi, Patricia.
You've given us some great information. Bob, just out of curiosity, I'm wondering if Obama's reasoning from not moving forward with this investigation could have something to do with higher-level Democrats being implicated. The reason I say that is today, Bob, in the New York Times, there was an article about Congresswoman Jane Harman calling the New York Times prior to the November 2004 election and asking them not to publish the story about the illegal wiretapping that the Bush administration was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was a ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. So this is very damaging, not just to Jane Harman, but to Democrats, meaning she was aware of this illegal program and did nothing to stop it. So do you think that there's a slight possibility that some high-ranking Democrats could have been involved in, you know, knowing this?
Well, we know that Nancy Pelosi was briefed, along with a gang of four. There was a Washington Post story late 2005. About the torture methods and how they were briefed by the White House. However, I think that's a dead end. I don't think that can, any sort of investigation of whether they were Republicans or Democrats in Congress who heard about these techniques, I don't think they can actually be prosecuted. Because, I mean, first of all, we're talking about national security. Secondly, they weren't allowed to take notes. They weren't allowed to receive any memos. They weren't even allowed to consult, as the president was, with legal counsel. So there was really no way to for them to even publicly object. I mean, let's say in 2002 when they were briefed that these torture methods were being used, let's say Nancy Pelosi suddenly got in front of a microphone and said, "We're torturing people out there." I mean, this is 2002 when, you know, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Ari Fleischer saying, you know, you got to watch what you say. The president's approval rating was in the gazillions. And Nancy Pelosi would get up and blow the whistle on this without any documentation, without any memos, with nothing but her word. She would have been tarred and feathered, probably impeached.
Well, okay, two questions. Could she have been of deep throat? I mean, you know, there was that. There's always that deep throat option.
Well, I think there were deep throats. I mean, because we've been reading about torture since Abu Ghraib. I have to go back and look at my note, but Abu Ghraib, and then prior to that, I think there were rumors and you know, things sort of spring.
CIA guys leak stuff.
Not the traditional press.
Yeah. All right, but to Pat's question, you don't think that there's any stonewalling going on because Dems are going to be ensnared in any of this?
Well, I think...
And I mean, Nancy, if I may ask Bob, I mean more so, not so much they would be prosecuted, but it would be damaging not only to their political career, but to the party itself. I mean,
well,
we know that the
always
party...
always a potential, but I think
Democrats
it's easily...
things to, you know, to lessen the damage of their party.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, there's always that potential, but I think it's very minimal.
Yeah, you know who's going to get... Quickly, we only have a minute here, Bob, but tell us, since you know the inside, these three lawyers, these guys, it doesn't stop there, right? Who's next above them?
Well, I think you've got Cheney. I think you've got David Addington, who's involved as well. I think you've got members of the Pentagon under Rumsfeld.
We are going to hear from Ari Fleischer again, aren't we? We are going to exhume the body of Ari Fleischer. Great.
Well, I mean, as long as they're wheeling out spokesmen like Dick Cheney, I think we're okay.
Quick, what did Dick Cheney and Susan Boyle have in common?
What?
They have a dream that one day they will be justified, and Susan Boyle's right, and Dick Cheney isn't. That's it. That's it. Hey, Bob, you're great. Will you come back and join us?
Absolutely.
All right, Bob Seska is a big-time blogger at Huffington Post who's followed all this, and I get a lot of guff about not going over to the dark side and talking about torture and evil enough. So if you would be my assistant in that, I would really appreciate that.
I'd love to be your evil correspondent.
You got it. We've got an evil correspondent, Bob Seska. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Nancy.
All right. 1-888-64 Nancy, that's 1-888-646-2629. Again, I'm trying to accomplish both things. Justice and survival of the universe. Well, no, just the planet. I don't care about the universe at this point. That's way too much on my agenda. So what do you think? Televised hearings? Is it going to go all the way? Where's everyone applauding Obama, by the way? Well, a lot of naysayers. He's opening the door. You heard Bob. He said he was giving Eric Holder the go-for-it signal for the Justice Department to commence these hearings. And we have John Stewart as well and Russ Feingold. There we go. I always listen to what Russ Feingold says. He's a moral North Star for all of us. 1-888-64-NANCY.
For. So to be clear, apparently everyone's not upset about the fact that we torture. They're upset about the fact that we now know about it. Seriously, how does more transparency in releasing the memos hurt us?
To have them public allows Al-Qaeda to train against them.
All of these techniques have now been ruined.
Oh, great! Ruined! Happy now, Obama? You've upset Carl. Don't worry, honey. They're not ruined. Those techniques are still torture. Do you know how long it took him to come up with those techniques? What are these torture techniques? Are they like magic tricks? Once you know how the tiger disappears, the show's ruined? Waterboarding still sucks, even if you know it's coming. Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, what do you have to say for yourself?
They're saying that you basically have exposed something. It's been written. Go get the New York Review of Books. It's there.
Oh, the New York Review of Books. Is it now?
All right, only John Stewart can make the New York Review of Books funny, and Karl Rove. That was Karl Rove who said, "No, you've ruined them. You've ruined the techniques because we exposed them," which is ridiculous. So you know, he's just nuts. But he's going to be back all over the TV during these trials. He'll be like fair and balanced out there, and someone's going to buy it. I assure you of that, if indeed these trials proceed, which seems likely. It's the Nancy Skinner Show. I'm Nancy Skinner. Let's get back to the phones. Keep this rolling. In Buffalo, New York is Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Nancy. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, I had just one little point I was thinking about. I thought I heard you say earlier in this program that Rush Limbaugh tends to put things all in either-or terms. Did you say that?
Yes.
Okay, and this is what I'm thinking about the president and dealing with the problems in the country and the problems in the world versus the prosecution of war criminals. They've got to do both. Now, the president doesn't have to do the prosecution himself. But the fact is that to say it's got to be an either-or situation, they're both that important. They both have to be done.
Well, that's, you know, what I'm trying to say is can't you do this in terms of the timing of it and as well as the publicity aspect, like not making it a circus on TV, in a way that you can do both of those things?
Yeah, I don't favor the circus. But in terms of the
it's going to happen, though, Ken. All right, so then you're saying not televised. Because if you put it on C-SPAN or cable, because C-SPAN covers cable, if you put televise it, it's a circus.
You know, the other side, the conservatives tend to make everything a circus anyhow. I'm trying to think, because I don't watch too much TV. In the Michael Jackson trial, that wasn't televised, was it?
No, it wasn't. But Ollie North and Iran Contra was. Remember that? And it was a circus. I mean, that was all. That's what those networks, it's easy coverage for them. So if it's televised, everything else that's important goes by the wayside. And we are just hunting down the bad guys. I know these guys. I'm on these. These networks. I know these producers. They want ratings. And it's going to be far sexier than the toxic asset relief program.
Yeah, I guess so, Nancy. I'd agree with you.
But I do think you are right.
Don't you leave it up to the judge? Doesn't the judge of a trial get to decide whether they bring in the dog and pony show, the cameras and everything?
That's a good question. I'll pose that. I don't know if this is different at this level. So we'll pose that, and we'll keep on a rolling, seeing how this is going to play in the public with pollsters on the Nancy Skinner Show. As they say, the next question on the table, given the news today, the door creaking open to what could be a bipartisan commission live on TV or not, concerning prosecution of Bush administration officials. Today, Obama said that it is the Nancy Skinner Show. I'm Nancy Skinner. 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. And I want to look at how this this may play in the public, and perhaps as I have ponied up my little theory that that's what they were thinking about. Will it be seen as a partisan witch hunt? Will it actually get the credibility it deserves with the American public? I think those are a lot of factors going on. Imagine that, politicians looking at the polls to see how things work. So joining me to talk a little bit about how this may play and about how the politicians may read those polls is Bernard Whitman. He's a Democratic pollster and strategist. He was a former pollster to President Bill Clinton, and he's worked on the last 7 presidential campaigns. So if someone knows his numbers and how they affect or move policies, it's going to be Bernie. Hi, Bernie.
Hey, Nancy, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Okay, listen, we've been talking about, obviously, this is big news with the development today, that there might be an opening, a bipartisan investigation, some prosecution. I just saw a bit, this is on MSNBC, and Chuck Todd, Huffington Post is posting about this. Chuck Todd depicts support for torture as a fringe phenomenon. And they cite in his post a poll. This is a Gallup poll taken, a recent poll. This is preferred action on Bush administration policies and actions. And the three choices were criminal investigation, investigation by independent panel, and neither. And I'll give you one of those. Interrogations is 38% want a criminal investigation, 24% an independent panel, 34% said neither. So how do you interpret that as a advisor to a politician?
Well, I'm going to have to part company with the more partisan elements of my party. And I read that to say almost two-thirds of the American people, 62%, would be against criminal prosecution for this. And I know that the more activist members of our party want, they're out for blood. They want to see prosecutions. They want to see people put behind bars. A good number of them feel that it's the responsibility of the United States to take a strong stand against torture, and they want to hold those accountable that they feel improperly use their political office to engage in acts that are against our laws.
You should have been listening to my show for the last 2 hours, because, yep, those were the calls. And one guy actually said that Bush and Cheney should go to jail without a trial. So that would kind of, you know, crystallize what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. However, I believe in a much more balanced, forward-looking approach.
Before you go to your kind of fifth year on it, you cited a number. You said 62 or 64%?
Yeah, 62. And the way I take that is 38 or 4 criminal prosecution. The other two, which is independent at 24% and nothing at 34%, you put those two together, and it says that 62%, or the vast majority, do not want to see a criminal prosecution.
Well, 58, and here's the only thing is that independent panel number, you know, to get to that 24%, that's kind of like your independence in the DR independent. There's probably a mixed bag in there. So to me, I would say it's a little more, if you pulled the general populace, Bernard, I think it's probably a little more hard to read, maybe closer to 50-50.
But I think that the short-term political gain that Obama might get from members of his own party by taking a very hard line and encouraging criminal prosecutions would ultimately be a huge disservice in the long-term politically and ultimately for the country. We need to focus on the very serious issues we have here in the United States with respect to the economy and abroad with respect to Afghanistan, the Middle East, North Korea, warming of relations in Latin America. And I think that taking a backward-looking, politically divisive bloodletting over torture will, at a certain level, suffice and make elements of our party happy. It is going to end up ticking off a large part of the population, and I think create a lot more enemies than it does create friends.
You're preaching to the girl to the choir here, girlfriend. That's what I've been saying, and with really get nowhere with it in terms of callers and listeners who really feel strongly that we have to, just to uphold the moral authority, we have to go through this process. But here's the, talking about the politics of it. Do you mind if I call you Bernie? Is that your nickname or no?
I will grandfather you and allow you to call me Bernie.
Me and Aunt Doris?
Okay, we're just going to pretend that you knew me in high school.
Bernie, okay. Because I'm very informal on my show. But anyways, I appreciate that kind gesture. What I have said, and this is where my listeners have been, not all of them, I get lots of emails saying, you know, you're right, you're being measured. I see in Obama's thinking, this is what I see. I see him saying, oh, my God, I have a global economic meltdown, which is, you know, this is an issue I cover a lot. And it's so scary how it can unravel out of control, and there could be political unrest worldwide that could require military action. He's also got, you know, to try and push through in this next session both health care and cap and trade, which is a feat, you know, unlike any other with the economy. I know he must be thinking to himself, okay, people, I'm a constitutional scholar. I know the Constitution, but I only have so much political capital right now. These things I want to use on that, because I can tell that he's worried in hearing his comments today about a complete media circus, that you're going to have the Karl Roves out there, you know, and resurrect Ari Fleischer and everybody on right, left. And in fact, let's listen to Chuck Todd. This is what he said about it, and I'll get your reaction, Bernard, to Chuck Todd. This is with Andrea Mitchell.
There does seem to be a little bit of a reaction to how this was received on the left, and the president, when he went on in those comments, Andrea, to suggest that he'd be open to some sort of special commission that was bipartisan. You know, he sat there on one hand, said he's worried about the process getting politicized, and frankly, this feels like a political food fight now. Vice President Cheney on one side, President Obama on the other, the hard left, the hard right, fighting over this in the blogosphere. So, you know, what he talks about, he fears the politicization. That may be too late. So the compromise might be, and the president basically comes out and endorses this in that photo op questioning that he got there, which is a special commission to look into this. But, you know, it all opens up all sorts of doors on you know, when legal opinions matter and all that. I mean, that is just, this is some touchy situation issues having to do with legal opinions, the Constitution.
Okay. It's a even Chuck Tide is tongue tied. Chuck Todd, you know, is that what you're saying as well, that this has the ability to be a full-blown zoo and undermine his agenda?
Oh, there is no question that it would be an absolute cluster. And I am no fan of blue-ribbon presidential commissions, because they tend to be assembled for things to go and sort of die a slow death. Having said that, in this particular issue, that's the way I think we are going to have to deal with it. It should be a bipartisan commission. It should be split down the middle. You should have scholars on both sides of this. And ultimately, I think that we want to get clarification on exactly what the Constitution allows, what the United States stands for here. If people have to be called out for having overstepped, overreached, acted improperly, I think that they should. We can use this as a guidepost for future administrations and future generations. But to turn this into some sort of a criminal witch hunt, I think would be terribly irresponsible. And ultimately, I think it puts a chill into government, because if there's a chance,
I'll tell you right now, you are light. You just, what you just said about turning it into a criminal witch hunt, you know, you have to be very careful, because you've got to understand. I just understand. I've gotten the feedback like you would not believe about people, you know, so many, like what they went through, and if laws were broken and we have a constitution, and then when you use a reverse word like criminal witch hunt, they're like, what are you talking about? You know, so many laws were broken in this run up. Do we lose our moral standing? So I need to challenge you on that, because I've been on your side of it, saying, okay, we do have this. If look at the pirate, pirate, this is breaking news, headline news. The pirate suspect is going to be judged as tried as an adult, judge rules. If that trial is on TV, there's your zoo. So if you think there's a zoo there, which we can handle, try Dick Cheney on TV and see that that's not a zoo.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, the Somali thing is it's a real threat, but it's a bit of a sideshow.
Yes, of course.
We're trying to put the senior administration, former senior administration officials, and the vice president on trial for something that is arguably very much of a gray area. And at the time, right or wrong, had support of the American people, I think would just be such a tremendous distraction. And frankly, if Obama, if the economy tanks and Obama is looking for something some cover to hide behind, then sure, I would think that David Axelrod would say, well, we might really want to take a look at this and we'll get people to focus on this for the next 3 months. But America simply can't afford to expend the depth of time and energy that something like this would take. And I think, frankly, the end result would be so politically fractious, it would be damaging to bipartisanship.
But you're not pulling a Peggy Noonan here and saying, sometimes things need to remain a mystery. Sometimes we need to just walk on by, right? Because, she said that, and that's
right.
Pretty ridiculous. You cannot have it that way either.
No, I think it needs to be more, I think it needs to be dealt with in more of a dispassionate fashion than our American legal system is set up to handle.
Well, then, but then what's the solution? Because, good luck with that. How can you take the passion out of it, what many believe to be an illegal war, at least by UN charter standards, torture, I don't think it can be done dispassionately.
Taking out of a politicized and a criminalized structure and putting it into more of an independent commission where both political parties as well as independents are going to be able to weigh in, and we're going to be able to look at scholars.
Hey, bipartisan's good and scholars good. If you don't have any teeth to it, if there's no prosecutions, it's not worth the time and paper you spend on it. But what about this, in my view, Bernie? What about taking it off TV and having it behind closed doors? Would that do it?
No, because then I think it creates more questions than answers. People are going to want to know what's actually being said. Then it's, do you let reporters into the room? And then there's artist sketches. And then, or wait, you don't. The whole thing is closed. And then why is it closed? And then there's going to be no trust at all. So I think it should be in a public forum. But I think we ought to do everything we can to take the politics out of it. And it's an inherently political issue. But I think by tying it to a balanced commission rather than congressional investigations, which will never be bipartisan, I think that's a much better approach. Yeah.
Judge Judy or something,
Judge Judy, actually, she just felt like it is.
Yeah, you want circus, you want entertainment. Judge Judy has Dick Cheney on trial. Oh, my God.
No, you know what? You may get me to support. If we could move it to Judge Judy, then I would support criminal prosecutions.
Okay. Well, we'll find our way through this darkness. Bernard Whitman, he's a Democratic pollster and strategist with Whitman Insight Strategies. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me on, Nancy.
Appreciate it. You bet. Okay, I know that's going to get a reaction. 1-888-64-NANCY. I'm just giving you both sides here, okay, folks? That's what Chuck Todd has said. He said exactly what I said, that it's going to devolve into the hard right and hard left, and it's going to be, that's what they're worried about it happening. So I'm just kind of, telling you what it is. You can respond at 1-888-646-2629 on the Nancy Skinner Show.
That it be a shame, because I'm the one who can feel the sun right in the pouring rain. I won't say when, don't know when, but soon they're going to come a day.
All right, here we go. It is the Nancy Skinner Show. I'm Nancy Skinner, taking it all in, doing my best to deliver it to you. At 1-888-64-NANCY, CNN has a new poll. They're citing the ABC News Washington Post poll on criminal prosecutions of Bush administration officials. Same numbers, split. Half of those are favoring investigations, half opposed, roughly. And they're also very partisan, with most Democrats saying that this is an issue of justice and most Republicans seeing this as score settling.
Which brings us to what we're talking about. Does this devolve into a left-right food fight, extraordinaire media event that then undermines the ability to save ourselves? Let's see. Where are we going, Krieger? We are going to go to Randy. All right, we're going to go to Randy. Hi, Randy. He's in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
See, I'm a conservative. I listen to right-leaning radio, and I also listen to left radio to try to balance it out. And I just picked up on the comment that you said, essentially that if it doesn't lead to criminal prosecutions, then it's not worth the effort. And your screener, you know, sort of advised that you've been more moderate on the issue, and you're not, you know, taking the stance that you're totally out for blood. But I have a problem with that statement because, to me, knowing that this area is very murky, is it criminal combatants, is it a uniform, is it Geneva Convention, there's myriads of murk in terms of figuring out what the rules are and whether or not there could have been, you know, someone that violated a crime.
Hey, Randy, you know, I only have 10 seconds left. Will you hang over for the break? I don't want to cut you off. Okay,
sure,
great. Sorry about that. Okay, so he's on hold. Cut him off. Because I want to let him fish, and then I got everyone else wants to get in and jump on the other side of it. So we'll have it out right here on the Nancy Skin Show. News to deliver to you. Judge in Illinois has just vetoed Rod Blagojevich's reality TV plans. So if you were all set for the reality TV show airing on NBC, Rod in the Jungle Celebrity Survival, not going to happen. Well, the reason I bring that up in the Nancy Skinner Show is if you think that they didn't give Rod Blagojevich, this goofball governor, a TV show because it would be a spectacle. This is NBC, folks, giving them a TV show, this guy, okay, because they know it'd get ratings. You don't think that the trial on TV of Dick Cheney would get ratings? That's just my thought. 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. We were finishing up a call with Randy, and then we're going to get in your calls. A lot of people want to jump in today. Randy was saying before the break, he's a self-described conservative who challenged me when I said, if you don't have a prosecution, it's not worth the time and paper. If it's just, if we embark down this media circus and do it, then why is it? Then I cut you off at that point, Randy.
Okay, so I could care less if someone gets, prosecuted, Democrat or Republican. I think the real value of going forward is to define what is not torture, part of which is policy, part of which is law, clarify existing laws that need clarifying, add to them if they need added. So going forward, our interrogators, which we desperately need, know what they can and can't do, and we're doing it right going forward to the extent we weren't doing it right to this point.
You're saying it was a big issue of confusion, and that if you take it out of the criminal court and you say, okay, let's just clear up this record, it was confusion. That's one thing. But wonder if there was intent. Wonder if people clearly knew that what they were doing was illegal, because intent is criminal. I mean, it's an element of any criminal prosecution. And I would ask you, Randy, as a conservative, if the other side had said when they went to impeach the president of the United States because he lied under oath about sex, or they claimed that was the claim, I mean, they did that because we have laws, and you can't just say, okay, we just want everyone to know, you know, he told a big lie about Monica. No, they went for all the way to impeachment of the president of the United States.
And so you're bringing that up suggests to me that it's a retribution or tit for tat.
No, I'm not in that. I'm holding you to a consistency pattern is what I'm doing. If it was just about exposing wrongdoing or clearing up some confusion, why was it that it went so far as to go all the way to impeachment, which put this nation in paralysis for a year? Because they cited the importance of the rule of law. Remember Henry Hyde with his outstretched hands with the flag, saying the flag will die and our whole country wasn't worth living if we don't impeach Bill Clinton because he lied under oath in a civil trial about sex?
No comment on that. Don't disagree with you on any of that. And in terms of being consistent, yeah, if someone intentionally broke a law, go for it. But and prosecute them. And, you know, if that gives some folks on the left, you know, energy and enthusiasm, great. But to me, that's the far lesser issue. What's more important should be, like I said, clarifying it so that we know what to do going forward.
I think that is a good point. That what has to come out of this is you are saying this, as I'm hearing it. You are saying the one thing we need to know for sure is what's murky and what's not, what's effective, what's not, who orders it, who issues it, who's responsible for it, and then that's that we're laying down that law for the all of time to come.
Yeah, until it gets murky again, because there's some new, you know, circumstances always change, and so there'll be some, even if we do the best job we can of defining it, it's going to be murky again, and someone needs some discretion at some point, and hopefully they don't abuse it. But I'm sure some of the callers that are following are just going to be ready to say, we don't care about that, we just want to nail, you know, Bush people and nail Republicans, and if that's their true end, then I think it's kind of weak. I think the real strong end is clarifying the law.
Okay. Well, let's hear what they have to say. Okay. I appreciate you sharing that with me, Randy.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
You have a good day. All right. Let's see. Randy thinks that this could be more about vindiction, and that if we essentially clarify what this issue is, then that we will get something substantive on it. Okay. So I'm going to open it up to Dave in Los Angeles. Hi, Dave.
Hey. How are you, Nancy?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. You know, when Reagan and Clinton signed the forced news corporations or companies to fold into entertainment divisions, we lost the ability of reporters to find and go to the end of the story go all the way to the end because it could affect the bottom line now, all of a sudden. And I believe that we need to know, well, America. You know, that we are a country of laws, not of men. And I would like to know what happened. I would like to know if laws were broken. I'm not out to see Cheney or Bush in jail. What I'm out to see is whether laws were broken. And if laws were broken, I believe that the punishment should fit the crime.
And so how would you, if you were President Obama today, given everything he's got on his agenda, how would you accomplish that, getting to know what you said, you want to make know if the laws are broken and have accountability and justice? How would you do that, given the overwhelming bucket load of problems he has and the time frame he has to achieve them?
Sure. It's possible that the best way would be to have, first of all, the Congress should do this, not a special prosecutor. Second of all, I see that perhaps it should not be televised. Of course, there should be reporters there reporting on what happens on a daily basis. But I believe that if it's not televised, that we'll just be more able to focus on the details that come from the questioning, and that the circus level might be toned down. But I also believe, as he said...
Do you
said,
feel safe in doing that because it's a Democratic Congress? In other words, if it was a GOP-controlled Congress, would you still trust them to carry out a fair hearing on this issue of their former administration?
I think that perhaps they might do it better because the cameras would not be on. And everything that is said would be, you know, this is not a closed-door situation where each word is not put down on paper. There would be a court-type reporter taking down every word, and there would be reporters inside the Congress as these proceedings were to proceed. Therefore, it would have transparency, but it would help ramp down the circus atmosphere, I think, if it were not on TV.
Well, that's my suggestion. That's what I started the show with, Dave, that I think that's how he could accomplish both objectives, is to not do it on TV and really let it. This is kind of where I'm heading now, that I do understand that there has to be a prosecution. If somebody intended to break the law at this level, that there has to be prosecution. But I do think there's a media circus angle here that would undermine our country. And any good commander in chief has to recognize that when, you know, come on, look at just the stories I'm pulling off, the top thing on the internet. McCain demands White House apology from Janet Napolitano because she is saying in her report on right-wing extremism, she's blaming veterans. The last people on earth we need to worry about are our veterans. And he's pounding. That's not what the report said, but it's manipulated. And then that's brought out on TV in this way. And then look at this. A shirtless Obama to appear on magazine cover. I kid you not, the next issue of the Washingtonian, 26 Reasons to Love Living Here. And it has a picture of Obama when he was in Hawaii on vacation. Someone snapped that without a shirt. And number two reason is, our new neighbor is hot. I mean, it's silliness. The media is complete silliness. So when I talk about a circus and people say, oh, you know, don't worry about that, you can't neglect that we know how these things work. And there's only so much oxygen, folks. So I keep going back to that question. How do you get around that? How do you accomplish all of those things? Let's see. We are going to go to Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hey there, Nancy.
How are you?
Kind of hanging in there. You know what? You know, given the behavior of the past administration, it's easy to see why people would think that you know, Democrats or liberals, whatever, would be after retribution. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, this falls under the purview of criminal prosecution. It should be handled that way. And it should be done that way specifically so that we can show, you know, the nation that this is the way it should be handled and that we can be, you know, as nonpartisan as we can, really, you know, justice will prevail and people will get, you know, a fair, you know, their fair shot, their fair hearing, you know, regardless of the party that's in power at the time. The conservatives, I mean, you know, they want to turn this into a political situation, but in reality, it should be, you know, a justice.
Right. Okay, so you hit, all right, so here's where I'm going with this. I agree. I think the reason Dick Cheney, that was a preemptive strike on Dick Cheney's part, to go out there and make it Dick Cheney versus Barack Obama. And so that you make it political, and so then when it does go on to cable TV, it's just a big, one of the same old, like we had that big fight about the filibuster, like we had the impeachment, like we have, you know, those big partisan fights. Then the general public, where most people are, actually in the middle, they get so frustrated they throw their hands up. So we who care about the rule of law and justice have to take that into consideration, that's what they want it political. You want it to be about justice, right?
Right.
How do you achieve both?
Or
justice, let's say, because I don't want it to be just, and I think that's Obama's real concern. I think he thinks it's going to be a partisan circus.
Right, right. Well, you know what? I mean, the representatives, you know, from the Democratic Party and all their minions and everybody should be out there saying, you know, counteracting that, and trying to show the American people how they're trying to make this into retribution. They need to let everybody know that this is not about that. They've got to get out there and use as loud a megaphone as the conservatives are using. They have to outnumber them. They have to outtalk them.
Though. They don't have as loud a megaphone. Rush Limbaugh has something like 600 affiliates.
Obama does have the bully pulpit, though. You know, Obama does have the bully pulpit. You know, high profile. Liberals do have the bully pulpit as well. You know, Edward Kennedy and
here's what, and we're running out of time. But I think what Obama's trying to do with this then is to he said, if you can get someone beyond reproach and do it in a fashion that has credibility with the public, then he said, if you had to choose to do which way to do it, that's the way to do it. So what you're saying, you know, what he's doing, Patrick, is he's saying exactly what you're saying, that this is a needle that should be thread very carefully, because if it's not, it will lose the objectives of justice in this.
Right. And, you know, notice what you said. You said that it has to be beyond reproach. But when it comes time for the conservatives to do stuff, they don't, you know, it doesn't appear as though they even care about being.
No, I know. That's right. But that's just the way it is. That's like, you know, it's like why we're adults and, you know, it's the do unto others thing. It's tough. But we can't devolve into that. We can't, and I know it's maddening, but we can't do it.
Yeah, and you know you've seen the conservatives over the past 8 years, and Obama needs to draw the distinction. He's got to make it idiot-proof in terms of his description of how it is, actual justice versus, you know, the partisanship that the conservatives are looking to draw the discussion into. So
exactly.
He's got to be really splintery. He's got to make the discussion idiot-proof, really, really dumb it down and make it, you know, very explanatory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's a tough job. Look at the tea parties. It's a tough job. All right, we have one more segment here, so we'll get your calls in. If you're on the line, I know you've been on a long time, and I appreciate that, and I want to make sure your view is heard. So 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. In the interest of time, I'm jumping right back into this with an email from David, who writes in, "What a Fox News Democrat you are. You are a complete and utter disgrace. Today I chose to check in, and here you are arguing against prosecuting those who ordered and committed torture. Well, you've got some great company there, Nancy. Joe Lieberman and Karl Rove, your little Fox News buddies. You think we can't prosecute them because it'll be a circus? So how did that affect us prosecuting the Nazis, the Japanese, and every other high-profile criminal case? I guess that Phil Spector case, he was too rich and powerful. What should they do? Not do it because it was a media circus? What utter and complete BS. I'm editing. These disgusting, disgraceful people broke the law, period. They ordered illegal acts of torture to be committed against prisoners. That's illegal. Our country is supposed to be a country of laws. President's not above the law. He goes on to say, it's simple, not complicated, but maybe you've been spending too much time with Fox News and that sick SOB Karl Rove. If it divides the country, so be it. One side is arguing in favor of prosecuting those who broke international law by torturing other human beings, while the other side is arguing for torture. I know what side I'm on, and now everyone can see which side you're on. I'm proud of my side. I don't think you can say the same. I don't think you'd make the jury selection, David, with that, first of all. And I must take you to task for your inaccuracies on my position. I never said, ever said, don't prosecute. I've just said when and how, given the multitudes of crises on the agenda, and how to do it in such a way that it doesn't devolve into a political circus that backfires against Democrats and gives them power back so they can carry out their atrocious policies of the past, David. That is what I said. So if you want to fall into some sort of, you know, you can't hear that I'm trying to see the forest through the trees a little bit, then I, you know, I'm sorry. That's all I have ever said. Let's see. We are going to Jeremy in Huntington Woods, California. Hi, Jeremy.
Yeah, hey, this has nothing to do with partisanship and revenge. This has everything to do with the supremacy of the Constitution. People like Paul Weyrich of the Heritage Foundation actually said that they need to install a shadow government. This has nothing to do with conspiracy. It's all out in the open. What they say is the Constitution is outmoded. It's old-fashioned. And they've been actually implementing this and institutionalizing it ever since the 80s. Their crimes have gotten worse since Iran-Contra. They have gotten worse because nobody investigated. That gives them a precedent. That makes it okay. And they've over...
I agree with that. Right, so we're there.
They invaded Iraq for the same reasons that Hitler invaded Poland. This has got to stop, and this is the only way to do it. And secondly...
Because I agree with you on, you know, we're talking about the underlying substance of issues here. I mean, Iraq, we can get into a longer discussion. My question is that... Is this the time right now? And even if it costs us health care and cap and trade to do it immediately?
There is nothing more important than the Constitution, and that is a fact.
And secondly,
but you can't have them both. You can't. We can't have health care, cap and trade. Get those through,
okay,
and then have the trial and protect the.
Chew gum and walk at the same time. I think he can. Okay. And secondly, he doesn't need to approve it. If justice is blind, then it doesn't matter what Obama says. The attorney general, if justice is blind, should be able to investigate no matter what the president says. We don't need his support. And secondly, 91% of the media is already dominated by the right wing. And I apologize for saying this, but we do not need the 9% that we have left dominated by apologists. That's all I had to say.
Okay. Well, you know what? Whatever. I'm the slings and arrows I'm used to. I'm trying to find a way. I've been a student of how these games end up playing out. And as a Democrat, they haven't played out too well for us. So I've never said anything of what your apologist, I take offense to, Jerry. Take offense to that, given what I have done in my record and my life and what I say. I'm just saying, how do we do it all? How do you achieve it all? And that's a simple question that I'm sure is not going to be resolved today, but we'll continue and we'll have all of your views, apologists and traitors and otherwise, on the Nancy Skinner Show.